celebration. It's beautiful, I believe, at times to take time to just enjoy the gifts and blessings that we've been given. I mean, I know in some families it doesn't have to be that a big event to celebrate, to come together. Sometimes anniversaries or birthday parties or particular feast days in our church. Our church looks for many different opportunities to celebrate. Each Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord, coming together in, church as a family, as a community, right? Many different feast days we celebrate throughout the year. Even particularly today, celebrating that we are halfway through this penitential season of Lent, this penitential time of conversion. And again, if you've ever done hard labor, or maybe played particular football games or sports, or ran long distances, or ran a marathon or anything, that you can recognize that with each step and even along the way, it's always nice to get some encouragement, the realization that we're a quarter of the way there, halfway there, we're almost there. That in some sense of encouragement and celebrating what where we have gone and where we are going, right? What God has given to us and what He continues to desire to present to us. So today, kind of in a little bit of the spirit of this Lectare Sunday, we're rejoicing. And so hopefully, as we continue to go through this season of conversion, as Deacon Mike spoke a little about in his homily last weekend, as Father Joseph and I have been speaking about this time of converting our lives more to Christ, I hope that we begin to recognize that as we, you know, continue to grow and grow older, maybe the physical parts of our own life cannot rely on them as much as we once had before. Maybe our own strength or our own minds, our own memory. But hopefully what we are able to begin to continue to depend upon is our spiritual life. Hopefully it is our spiritual life that is taking over, in some sense, our own flesh. Just as we heard in that second reading, that we are a new creation, that we are alive with Christ and not alive in the flesh. So how are we beginning to rely more upon God, rely on His message and plan for us, on His message of reconciliation as we heard in the gospel today? So what are we living in? What are we alive in? And hopefully it is a spirit. Hopefully you can see this process taking place throughout this season of Lent. A beautiful gospel that we have today, right? Gospel that is familiar to all of us, the story of the prodigal son. So I just maybe like to take a minute or two just to kind of give two reflections, one on the older son and then one on the younger son, as we continue to journey through this season of Lent. So number one, let's start with the older son. What does the father say to him? All that I have is yours. A beautiful, just a couple of sentences, or not a couple of sentences, a couple of words, that the father speaks to his son. His son is complaining. His son has been working his whole life trying to earn his father's love, father's care, trying to do everything right. And the father says, everything I have is yours. Everything that I have has always been yours. Everything that I ever will have is yours. How do those particular words impact you? You know, I don't know. If you were to hear God say those words to you, everything that I have is yours. Every time you come to Mass isn't necessarily earning God's love, but it's an opportunity to, again, partake in what is already yours. Each time you sit down in your prayer each day, it's an opportunity to enter into what God has already given to you. God isn't necessarily like at the middle of a maze where throughout our whole life we're going around, oh, dead end, back this way, oh, this way, trying to, in some sense, find Him in the middle. No, He is plainly present to us. God doesn't hide from us. He doesn't run from us. Everything that I have is yours. Everything. Through our baptism, eternal life, all that God gives to us is already ours. And all we have to do is come in to partake and to receive in what God has already given to us. So throughout this rest of this week and maybe the season of Lent, I would just encourage you, maybe in your prayer periods, to take this particular phrase and hear God say that to you. And what is the response of your heart? Do you believe that everything that the Father has is yours? Do you believe that He has given it to you and that it is already yours now? How do you respond to what the Father has given to you? Do you feel worthy or not worthy? So just pay attention to maybe some of the movements of your own heart and hearing those particular words. And I hope you begin to believe them more. Everything I have is yours. And then he says, let us rejoice because your brother, whom we thought was dead, has come back to life, and we must celebrate. The first son, it's kind of a particular word that is used, dissipation, a life of dissipation. Actually, it kind of comes from the root word in Latin that also means to unravel. So in a particular image of taking a ball of yarn or something, and pulling it and just unwinding it, and in some sense left with just a big kind of mess of string. It's all tangled up, and it would take hours in some sense to sort it all out. That is, he left his father, his whole life began to unravel. It's almost as if when he said asking his father for inheritance, basically what it means that he told his father that he believed his father was dead to him. You're no longer any good to me. I want my inheritance, and I want to do it my way. I want to try to figure it out. I want to do it the way I think would be best. And he leaves, and it's almost as if a piece of his shirt or sweater hooked on a nail. And as he left his father, everything began to unravel. Realizing it, that he was left with nothing, he decides to come back, right? And that particular encounter that he has with his father, and the father quickly doesn't even pay attention to what he says, quickly puts a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet, and a cloak on his back. He welcomes him back home. A sense of a reconciliation. We had the penance service here at St. Helens on Thursday night and Friday morning, and many of the people, after they had shared their sins and after we had given them the absolution, said to them, put a ring on your finger, shoes on your feet, and a cloak on your back. As you leave this confessional, you are back in union with your Heavenly Father, and he gives everything to you. That realization. So in this particular image, too, I think it's good for us to reflect upon that anytime we sin, this is kind of what is taking place. Anytime that we might say, this gossip won't hurt anybody, or anytime we might say, we tell a lie, or decide to say, well, this will be better. It'll be better than the truth if I lie, or I don't want to get in trouble, or I don't want to get somebody else in trouble, so this lie will be a better solution. Or when we cheat on the test, or cheat on homework, or when we look at particular images or lust after other people, well, my spouse isn't around and she doesn't know these people, so he doesn't know these people, so if I lust after this particular person, nobody else is going to be harmed by it. And we, in some sense, do all kinds of things in particular sins, mostly thinking that this will be better for me, or I'll find what I'm looking for here. And of course, we don't. God is giving us life. Sin is taking life from us, kind of rotting our heart or rotting our soul in those particular times. But God is always ready to welcome us home. So I hope that as we continue in this season of Lent, that you recognize that all the Father has given to you is already yours, and living in and out of your inheritance as his son or daughter. And the realization that if you have sinned, if when we do sin, the Heavenly Father is looking for us, is waiting for us to return. And this particular story really isn't so much about us, but it is about the Father who desires to reconcile with us and to reconnect with us. And again, does it hold anything from us? What is keeping you from living your Christian life? Kind of interesting. I was reflecting on this week of how so hard it is sometimes to live out of our Christian faith. How sometimes it's so hard to be pro-life in this particular world that we live in, and to share and to talk about why pro-life is a good thing. Sometimes there's so much stigma even around contraception and around so many other things of our own sexuality. And so there's a stigma. Why are we so afraid to share what God has given to us and what is the truth about all these particular things that God has given to us as far as life, part of our sexuality, how we see and approach other people, how we die to our own self. Why is it so hard to live out our Christian life? Something that is there and true and is good, and we call ourselves Christian. Yet sometimes we're so afraid to actually share and live out what it truly means to be Christian. What are we afraid of? Afraid of being made fun of, or afraid of being challenged? Just afraid of sharing the truth? Afraid of coming back to the Father, who only desires to reconcile us and for us to live in that truth? Everything that the Father has is yours. Use it up.